I thought a lot about doing a children's sermon on the Trinity, and I did attempt it last year, but I don't know how well it went over. So I didn't. But I thought, you know what, today, why don't we do something a little bit different and do a little Trinitarian theology. This is a little bit different of a sermon than I usually do. But I think it's a good day because we're celebrating, of course, Trinity Sunday. And it's very easy to get confused, I think, by this concept of the Trinity. It's also easy to get into what, you know, we call pretty bad theology when we talk about it. I remember one of my teachers in seminary saying, like, almost anything you say about the Trinity is heresy. So just don't even try. And so a lot of clergy get really nervous on Trinity Sunday. Like, oh, what am I going to do? It is kind of an unusual day because we're really celebrating a doctrine of the church, right? And when you read scholars who talk about the Trinity, it's like, you know, oh my goodness, if you've ever tried, you know, it just gets, it gets kind of crazy-making at times. I'll put it that way. And I came across this sort of imagined conversation somebody wrote, you know, where Jesus is talking to the disciples and the topic of the Trinity comes up. It's just imagined, okay? And this is how it goes. I like this. Jesus says to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And his disciples answer and say, "Some say you are John the Baptist, returned from the dead. Others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And Jesus answers and said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter's the one who speaks up. He says, "Thou art the Logos, existing in the Father as his rationality, and then by an act of his will being generated in consideration of the various functions by which God is related to his creation, each member of the Trinity being co-equal with every other member, and each acting inseparably with and interpenetrating each other every member, with only an economic subordination within God, but causing no division which would make substance no longer simple." And Jesus answered, "What?" This is pretty much what it's like to read the scholars on the Trinity. It's tricky, but still, I would like to invite us to jump into the deep end a little bit today and to get into this Trinitarian theology, difficult as it may be. I think it's important for a couple of reasons. One is the Trinity distinguishes Christianity from all other faiths. I mean, nobody else is proclaiming this concept of a triune God. And it's possible that no one else understands it either. But despite the criticisms, you know, that Christians started facing early on, you know, Christians are not polytheistic. We do not believe in three different gods. We believe in one God. We are monotheistic through and through. But it is, let's admit it, paradoxical, right? It's a paradox how God can be one and three at the same time. I think the Trinity is one of the most awe-inspiring mysteries of our faith, though. And it's why we set aside a day, an entire day in the church year, to observe and celebrate the Trinity. Now, what can we say without getting too bogged down? I mean, I actually like the word tri-unity better in some ways than Trinity. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about God as a tri-unity, that God has been revealed as one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? And this is the simplest way we could say it. Those three persons, though, are all equal and equally God in unity of being. They have always existed. They co-created our world, and they are equally involved in the work of redemption and reconciliation, right? Totally mutual, totally equal. Now, as Christians, we're called, of course, to be baptized in the name of the Trinity, right? For our baptism to be what we consider valid baptism, it's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that is what Jesus commissions in the Gospels. I would like to suggest, though, that, and many Christians have noticed this is not a unique perspective by any means, but many Christians have noticed that there appear to be hints of the Trinity going all the way back to Genesis 1. Maybe you've noticed it, where first of all, we read of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters of creation. Right? And this word in Hebrew for spirit, it's one of my favorite Hebrew words. It's ruach. And ruach is a feminine noun, first of all. That's interesting. Secondly, it means a couple different things. It means spirit, but it can also mean breath or wind. In this context, because Hebrew always, every word has lots of meanings. In this context, it is talking about God's spirit then hovering over the water. That sounds interesting right there, right? And then the text goes on, and it says this. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. This Hebrew word for our image is salem, and it is also, it is a plural pronominal suffix. It's plural. You hear it, right? And it translates plural in the English. So there again, there's this interesting, what's going on here? And then we go on. The word being used for God in Genesis and throughout a lot of the Hebrew scriptures is Elohim. And again, that im at the end is a plural. It is used for plural nouns. So God is referred to in these ways right at the very beginning of the Bible in creation. And yet, of course, we know that monotheism is absolutely central, right? I mean, in Judaism, the Shema, that important prayer, is very clear monotheism. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, right? So perhaps one way to think about Genesis, or even the biblical witness as a whole, is that it appears to be demonstrating that there is one God who has this inner being that is a plurality. And since that, interestingly, in Genesis, this plurality is like deliberating, right, together, we could maybe take it a step further and suggest it is a plurality of persons. Now we're getting to the Trinity, within one God, right? All the way back to the beginning. Now, I think it's powerful imagery. I think the trouble is we are finite human beings, right? We are not infinite. Our minds can only conceive of finite things. And so really the concept of God is in many ways beyond us. It is mysterious. It is beyond what our human minds can fully comprehend. And I really love what C.S. Lewis had to say, because he says this: if Christianity was something we were making up, of course we could make it easier. But, he says, it is not. We cannot compete in simplicity with people who are inventing religions. So despite, I want to say, how mysterious and complex it may sound, in affirming that God is a Trinity, a triunity of divine persons is important. And it matters as well. Why does it matter? Why does it matter that God is a Trinity? What is relevant? How does this impact us right now? Maybe does this impact you and your life in a personal way? Or is this just something for the scholars to argue about, like they do, for theologians to fight over? I think it matters and is actually, it has extremely personal implications. And one of the ways we can think about that is one of this core affirmations we make about God as Christians. It comes from 1 John 4:16, and we also heard it in John 3:16. But in 1 John 4:16, it's very clear. It says, God is, does anybody know? Love. God is love. Not that God is loving. God is actually love. And of course, the echoes of John 3:16, right? The whole purpose behind this plan, for God so loved the world, he gave his son, right? We affirm as Christians that God is love, that God's very nature is love. And so then all love comes from God. God is the source of all love. Yet love requires a subject. a subject, someone to love. For God to be love, God needs a subject to love. And we can't say, well, of course God loves us, God loves the angels, God loves the animals. Yes, because if God's very essence and being is love, then God needed to have had a subject to love prior to creation. God exists before and outside of our time and our world. So who, then, was the subject of God's love before God created? The Trinity provides the answer. Because within the context of the relationship between the persons of the Trinity, we affirm God the Father loves God the Son, and God the Son loves God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, etc. The Trinity is revealing. God isn't just loving. It shows us how it is that God is love itself. And if that's true, then for you or I to be in relationship with God means we've been invited into a dynamic relationship of love that exists in and among the persons of the Trinity. I mean, it's incredible to think about. In other words, if God is a triunity, it implies a sense of community. As community, the Trinity then becomes a model for all of life itself, for every community, every relationship, always modeling for us God's will for all relationships as loving, mutual, equal, and self-giving. All the traits of God in the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity then is a model for our lives, our families, our churches, our communities, and every single relationship we ever have. Bring it back down to a little bit lower level. A way I thought of it was the kids and I were watching a TV show a while back, and it featured this very vain, narcissistic sort of teenage boy who was asked by the wise old wizard whether or not he loved anyone. Are you in love? And of course, he had to ask this because love is what would break the spell, the evil spell that had been cast. Because love does that. And the boy says, well, yes, I am in love. And the wizard says, with whom? And the boy responds, with myself. And the wizard says, that doesn't count. The doctrine of the Trinity provides us the opposite of what we think of sort of that self-centered, selfish life or relationship, right? The Trinity provides us this entirely new model. If God is a triunity, if God then as a Trinity is the basis of our reality, if God is the ground of our being, we see this loving communion of three divine persons existing in perfect and equal unity. Then that means, going all the way back to Genesis 1, the basis of all life, creation itself, is rooted and springs forth from one who is love. You and all that were made were created by, in, through, and for love. For God so loved the world. Thanks be to God.